Beloved, love one another. It's commanded. It's compelling. It's costly. It's contagious. Lardon Lashkini gathered some children together and asked the question, what does love look like? It said, when my grandma has got arthritis, she couldn't bend over. She couldn't paint her toenails. So my granddad painted her toenails. Even though he had arthritis in his hands. That was Rebecca, age 8. Carl, age 5, said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Terry, age 4, said, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Bobby, age 7, said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. Nikki, age 6, said, if you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Claire, age 6, said, my mummy loves me more than anybody because you don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night. This young fella said, love is when mum sees dad smelly and sweaty and still says, you're more handsome than Robert Redford. Lauren, age 4, says, I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and then has to go out and buy new ones. Jessica, age 8, says, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it all the time. Isn't that good? Tell you what. But the one that was printed, which they said was the best, was when a fellow by the name of Louis Boscalvia gathered together a group of children and asked them to answer the question, and he had to judge which was the one that won. And this is what he said. There was a 4-year-old child who went to his next door neighbor, whom he knew very well, who was old and had just lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed upon his lap, and just sat there. Later, when Mum asked what he'd said to his neighbor, the little boy said, I said nothing. I just helped him to cry. There are 59 one another's in the New Testament. Here's just a few of them. Love one another, care for one another, forgive one another, consider one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, don't judge one another, comfort one another, don't grumble against one another, be hospitable to one another, encourage one another, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, pray for one another, submit to one another, be kindly affectionate to one another, receive one another, be members of one another, greet one another with a holy kiss, wash one another's feet. But on 17 occasions in the New Testament, you find this phrase, to believers, to a community of believers. Love one another. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a hint. It's not a tip to help you enjoy your Christian life a bit more. It's commanded. Some of you have read the book by C.S. Lewis called The Four Loves, wherein he explains the four Greek words. Sturge, that's love which people have for their family. There's philia, That's love and affection people have for their friends. If you've got a mobile phone, please turn it off. There's eros. That's romantic love, erotic love, sexual love. And there's agape. That's unconditional, God-like, Christ-like, Spirit-like love. As we come to the New Testament, if we find that there's 59 times the one another's are exhorted, then it means that you and I, who are true believers of our Lord Jesus Christ, who want to live for him and live in community with one another, must hear these over and over and over again until they go past our consciousness and get into our behavior and into our relationships. Agreed? And if 17 times love one another specifically is used, then this is the one we need to hear first. First of all, love one another because it's commanded. You remember that in the Old Covenant, we were told, aren't we, to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ articulated that. But then you remember in John chapter 13, after washing his disciples' feet, after exposing and saying someone will betray him, remember he says these words, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." This seems too simple. And yet I remind you again that the Christian life and the Christian church is not a democracy where we all have our say, where we all give our opinion, and we all do as we choose. The Christian church is a theocracy where God is king, where the Lord Jesus Christ is head of the church, where he is the King of kings. And whether we like it or not, or whether we feel like it or not, the command to you and I is to obey. This new commandment is different because it says to love one another as I have loved you. This raises to another level the divine command to people who claim to know the living God for themselves. Love one another. It's commanded. Love one another. It's compelling. You know these words in 1 John, which are famous. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If you have a compelling argument, if you're making a compelling point, it means there is something here which should grab your attention and give you the root and branch reason for why we're speaking about it. Here's why love for one another is so compelling. Because love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. For God is love. Of course, you and I read the Westminster Confession. Of course, we knew the Shorter Catechism. Of course, some of you who've been here for years and years sang the Confession. God is a spirit, without body and parts, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. You know the attributes of God: holiness, righteousness, justice, wisdom, knowledge, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, wrath, mercy, grace. And yet, here we are told by the apostle of love, John himself, who wrote the gospel and now is writing these epistles, he says, God is love. I mean, if there's any compelling point that you and I need to grasp from this series, it is that God himself is love. And we are like him, most like him, when we love. The Father, the fount of all deity, he is love. The Son, who proceeds from the Father, he is love. The Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. In the Trinity of his persons, God is love. And anyone who says he knows God but does not love his brother is deluding himself. You're just plain lying. It's just sheer hypocrisy. So here is something compelling. It is to be like God, for God is love. Number three, it is something costly. Of course it is something costly. Our Lord Jesus Christ has just washed the feet of his disciples, one of whom would betray him, another one of whom would deny him, all of whom would desert him. You notice he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." You remember the story of William Booth in London, who gathered a great crowd together, drew a circle, and said, "Everything in this circle belongs to God, and I have a question to ask you all. How do you spell love?" Some of the aristocrats sneered at it. "How do you spell love? It's L-O-V-E. No, it's not. It's sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Love is spelled nails in your hands and in your feet and a spear in your side. Love is spelled denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. Love is costly. If you want to love like Jesus, you must love literally to death. And this is what John says in 1 John. Look, he says, God is of love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if we so love God, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I mean, what words are these? If you want to see what love is, here is God in the flesh becoming the propitiation for our sin. He's hanging on the cross naked. He's bearing the taunts of the world. He's bearing the sins of the damned. He's bearing the wrath of God. He's displaying the love of God. So to love one another will be costly. You only have to go through the 59 loves for one another, and you can know this. The one another's in the New Testament. You can know this. Love will cost you your pride. Love will cost you your reputation. Love will cost you your position, your status. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. It's costly. It'll cost you your time. It'll cost you at times your opinions. It'll cost you at times your principles. It'll cost you at times those things you really think are important to you, which may not be as important as you think. It'll cost you your home and your table. It'll cost you your money. It costs to love one another. Jesus loved the unlovely. That's what it means. If you find me unlovely, it is your task to love me. If I find you unlovely, It is my duty to love you, to do all that I can to express love. And don't think that love is wishy-washy. Don't think that love can't rebuke. Don't think that love can't say, hey, listen, you're wrong. The most loving person that ever lived, you remember, in Matthew chapter 23, went to the most holy people of their day and said, you are a generation of vipers. You are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You are hypocrites. Part of the one another's means we have to admonish one another. Part of the one another's means we are to submit to one another. Part of our one another's is also to honor one another. And at times, that can be costly and painful and humbling. But it's transforming. Transforming us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number four, love one another because it's contagious. It's contagious amongst the brethren. Once we start to love one another, we understand what David meant when he said how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Aren't you sick to death of church fights? Aren't you sick to death of the issues of so-called personality? Aren't you tired of it all? How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You'll never dwell together in unity. And the Lord will never command a blessing unless we have that contagious love for one another, which will spread to one another. But it's also contagious because our Lord Jesus Christ said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not by your church programs. It's not by your preachers. It's not by your knowledge of theology. It's not by your expertise in one discipline or another. It's not by your music. It's not by your premises. It's by our love that the whole world will see that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to see families converted? Do we want to see a community changed? Do we want to see the blessing of God upon us? Do we want to know New Testament, experiential, Holy Ghost-filled revival, personal revival, church revival, community revival, citywide revival, national revival? And that's love one another. Oh, listen, I never tire of this story. And if you're tired, you can switch off and go to sleep. Picture in your mind's eye the aged Apostle John. White hair, frail, bent over. He comes to the church of Ephesus. There's massive problems in the church of Ephesus. Everyone's expecting this Royal George sermon. After all, he'd spent 3 years with our Lord Jesus Christ. He'd been in the inner circle. He'd been at the cross. He'd been at the resurrection. He'd seen the ascension. What's more, on the Isle of Patmos, he'd had visions of the future and of the blessing of God and of the reign of King Jesus. Everyone thought, wow, what a sermon he must give. He comes and says, beloved, love one another. Imagine him walking in here. You elders, you deacons, you pastors, you leaders, you Sunday school teachers, love one another. He comes to this family over in this side, where for breakfast you have cornflakes, a cup of tea and a row every single morning. Love one another. He comes to Miss Touchy, Miss Negative, Miss Cynical, Miss Critical, Mr. Negative, Mr. Cynical, Mr. Criticizing everybody all the time, Mr. Hypersensitive. Love one another. He comes to those who masquerade behind the mask called how much knowledge I have. I can't fellowship with you. You don't cross the T's I cross and dot the I's I dot. Love one another. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, there are babes. There are children. There's teenagers. There's young adults. There's singles. There's adults. There's married couples. There's families. There's widows. There's widowers. There's those who are in senior years. There are those who are dying. This whole family of God, which belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, born again of his Spirit, washed in his blood, knowing for sure that they have Christ as their Savior. You remember that when John wrote his epistle, he had three things in mind. He wanted you to know that blessed assurance, that absolute assurance that you belong to Christ. And he said, here's how you know. Number one, by your behavior. Are you obedient? I mean, that's a question, isn't it? Light. Obedience to the knowledge of God revealed in his word. By your behavior. Number two, assurance by your beliefs. Believing the truth contained in God's word. Not saying, this won't apply to my life now. And then by brotherhood or sisterhood, loving one another. Love one another. It's commanded. It's compelling. It's costly. It's contagious. I came across this hymn today. We don't know it, but we're going to learn it sometime. It goes like this. Let love be found amongst us, the gift of God it is. The hallmark of his children, the sign that we are his. We claim that God has called us, no idle boast or fraud, if love directs our actions and proves we know the Lord. The reason God has loved us is simply sovereign choice. Our love is but an echo to his resounding voice. For God is love and showed it by giving us his Son. Through him our past is pardoned, a new life now has begun. How deeply God has loved us, accepting us as friends. So let us show each other this love which never ends. For though we cannot find him with sight or touch or sound, yet God himself is present where love is truly found. Beloved, let us love one another. Let's stand and sing.